And welcome back. Hey, here he is. It's me, Jay Arrett, founder and dean of marketing know-how at themarketingspot.com. It's episode number 84 of Power to the Small Business.
Branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
You've heard and probably said, word of mouth is the best form of marketing. Well, it turns out that's true. The thing is, most businesses don't have a plan to tap into that powerful form of marketing. So on this episode of Power to the Small Business, we have a way for you to build what I think is a fairly simple plan to unleash word of mouth for your business. Rob Fugetta, author of Brand Advocates, Turning Enthusiastic Customers into a Powerful Marketing Force, will join us shortly to discuss. But first, well, this is the first episode of the big show in more than a year, and for a while I didn't think it was coming back, but here it is. Why? It was just time. During the past year plus, almost 15 months, I would say, almost every week I get a couple of requests to bring the podcast back, and here it is. And I've missed it too. But change is in the wind, or I should say transformation is in the wind. A few weeks ago, I spoke at the State of Now conference, the small town version of it in Hutchinson, Kansas. Now, that's the conference formerly known as the 140 Characters Conference. And I shared how businesses change, but they don't really transform. We just kind of evolve, and that's a normal state of business. So in order for a business to really change, it has to transform. And I shared that that's what's going to happen to me. That's what's going to happen to the Marketing Spot in the next year. And I'm on a mission to transform my business. I don't know exactly what that will be yet, but I want to invite you on this little transformation journey with me. So come along with me if you want to. That's all I'm going to say about it now. Not much to go on, right? But stick with me. As we get back into the podcast game, I'll start revealing more and have more surprises for you. But now, word of mouth and how to harness it or encourage it. How to use it as a marketing force. Our guest today is Rob Fugetta. He's author of Brand Advocates, Turning Enthusiastic Customers into a Powerful Marketing Force. And he's also the head of Zuberance. Zuberance is a social media marketing company. And Rob Fugetta is founder and CEO of Zuberance. And he wrote the book Brand Advocates. And he's our guest today. Now, as always, complete show notes are available on the website powertothesmallbusiness.com and also themarketingspot.com. So let's do it. Let's find out how we can build our own word of mouth marketing plan by using Brand Advocates. And we're joined now on the Skype line by Rob Fugetta. He is founder and CEO of Zuberance, a social media marketing company, and we'll learn more about Zuberance later on in the podcast. Rob, hey, welcome to the big show, and thanks for sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thanks, Shay. Good to be here with you.
Rob has written a book called Brand Advocates, Turning Enthusiastic Customers into a Powerful Marketing Force. Rob, I guess let's just get started. Advocates, define advocates for us as they apply to marketing.
Well, we define brand advocates as highly satisfied customers or others who are willing to recommend your brand or product without pay or incentives. And these are oftentimes your most engaged, most enthusiastic, and most loyal customers. And they're absolutely delighted to tell you, talk to your friends and create content and share content with their friends and social networks and others online about you.
Well, here we go. It's time to bust a myth, I guess, right at the beginning, because you said they don't need to be paid. But a lot of businesses operate under this concept that to get loyal customers, we have to have some sort of loyalty program and offer some sort of incentive for them to be loyal and to share with other people. But you just said advocates aren't quite like that.
No, and just to be clear, the difference between loyalty programs and advocacy programs are pretty profound. You know, with a loyalty program, what you're trying to do is get your existing customers to buy more, to continue buying from you. With an advocate or advocacy program, what you're really trying to do is make it easy for your highly satisfied customers to recommend you. Now, what we found, and we have generated millions of recommendations for both consumer products and for business products and services, is that you don't have to pay or provide incentives to people who already might be inclined to recommend you. You just have to make it easy for them to do so. And in fact, the other thing we find is that when you start paying people or giving them incentives to recommend you, it actually tarnishes the recommendation. And you, as a receiver of that recommendation, studies show, you're actually less likely to buy a product or service if you find out later that the person recommending it to you has something to gain personally from that recommendation. So we just say at Zuberance that true advocacy cannot be paid for or manufactured. It can only be earned. And if, as you know, you won't find advocates on a rate sheet.
Although some people think they might be able to have a rate sheet for, or at least to get people to spread the word about them. Probably a lot of people out there are wondering, well, are there really that many people who like your business well enough to go out and spread the word about you without some sort of incentives?
You know, we have years of experience in this, and I think for any small business owner, entrepreneur, marketer, or agency that wants to test this out, it's easy enough to test. And that is to start by asking what's called the ultimate question for customer loyalty, and this comes from something called Net Promoter. And that ultimate question is, on a scale from 0 to 10, how likely are you to recommend us to your friends or colleagues? And those customers who respond 9 or 10 are considered advocates or promoters in Net Promoter lingo. So the first thing you want to do is identify your advocates by asking that simple ultimate question, and you'll be able to find out pretty quickly what percentage of your customers are highly likely to recommend you.
Let's just take an average business. I know it probably varies across industry, but what percentage of your customer base are likely to be advocates for your business?
Well, this is a stunning finding, and it'll probably be very surprising to people who are listening who think that answer to that question might be 5 or 10%. And here's the answer. It's about 50%.
Wow.
We've surveyed millions of business buyers and consumers and asked them that ultimate question. And on average, about 50% of people who have answered that question have said highly likely to recommend. Now, think about this for a second. You know, if you have, say, 1,000 customers, you may have about 500 advocates, people who are willing to recommend you and highly likely to recommend you. And by the way, that 50% is an average. So we manage and power brand advocate programs for both B2B and B2C brands. And we found some B2C brands where the percentage of those customers who are highly likely to recommend those brands is 70 to 80%. Now, on the B2B side, it might be a little less than that. It might be 30 or 40%. But on average, it's about 50%. So this is a stunning finding. And my message here to anyone listening to this podcast is that you have more advocates than you think. And if you depending on the size of your customer base, that advocate army, as we call it, can be massive. It can be 500,000, a million, or more.
So you start with this ultimate question, and could you rephrase that question for us again?
Yeah, so the ultimate question for brand loyalty, and this comes from something called Net Promoter, is how likely are you to recommend us to a friend or colleague? And that's applied to a scale, a 0 to 10 scale, and those people who respond 0 to 6 are considered detractors, 7 to 8 are considered passives, and 9 and 10 are considered promoters in Net Promoter lingo. We call them advocates.
So we start with this ultimate question, and how do you ask it, or what's the best medium to ask this question? I know you do it a lot, so what have you found gets the best results in asking this question?
Well, our approach on this, Jay, is to ask this question everywhere. And so when we start working with a company, we'll inventory their customer touch points. You know, so we'll say, what are the different ways that a customer can interact with you or touch your brand or product or service today? Certainly email is a big opportunity, you know, to ask that ultimate question. Posing that question on social channels, like posting it every 10 days over your Facebook or Twitter, is also a great way to ask that question. Certainly your website, putting banners on your website saying, recommend us? You know, we'd like to know, things like that. But there are also some other ways as well, like having your service and support teams ask that call. Using trigger-based emails. So, for example, 30 days after you become a customer, you might send out an email message to your customers asking them that ultimate question. Or if they upgrade their account or they change their account status, even while they're using the product. So many of our customers who sell online products, like software products, for example, ask that question during the user experience. So maybe every 6 months or so, that question might pop up. How likely are you to recommend us? So there are numerous ways and places that you can ask that ultimate question. And the idea is you want to be able to ask it across numerous channels and continuously, because you want to be able to identify as many advocates as you can.
And when you identify them, then you segment them and you put them in a special group to market specifically to them?
Certainly you should know who your advocates are and create a database of them. But I want to really kind of amend what you said there, Jay, because it's really not about marketing to your advocates.
All right.
It's marketing through your advocates and with your advocates. And this is something that, you know, I wrote about this in my book, and I include myself guilty as charged as a marketer. We all seem to have the spam gene. You know, as soon as we find somebody who likes us, we want to continually bombard them with offers and coupons. And that's not what this is about. If you find or when you find advocates for your business, what you want to do is make it easy for them to recommend you. So through your advocates, you can reach prospects and turn your advocates into a marketing department. So it's not so much about offering things to advocates, but instead making it easy for them to recommend you.
In fact, in the book, you break it down very simply with the Advocate Marketing Playbook, and you just have some simple steps. Could you kind of run through the playbook for us a little bit?
Well, the three key steps in the Advocate Marketing Playbook are identify, energize, and track. Now, we talked a little bit about identify, which is really about asking that ultimate question, how likely are you to recommend us, across a variety of different customer touch points and communications channels. The second part of the playbook, energize, that part is about making it easy for your advocates to recommend you. And so there are at least three ways, and I'll mention right now, that you can activate or energize your advocates. One is to get them to rate and review your products and services. So advocate reviews is a great way to energize your advocates. Number two, a second great way to do this is advocate stories or testimonials. A little different than reviews. Reviews carry a rating and more likely to be pointed at a particular product like your Kodak X100 camera. A story is more like your Kodak moment. You know, it tends to be a little bit more personal and emotional. So stories, that's the second way that you can energize your advocates. The third thing you can do is get advocates to share content and offers with their social networks. And here I don't mean just a coupon, but it can be enabling an advocate to share that story or review they've created and then maybe couple it with a coupon or offer. So that's three ways, but there are many other ways to energize your advocates.
And the thing to do, though, is you have to make an effort to energize them. You just don't expect them to do it on their own.
I think, you know, what we're talking here about is, Jay, is about doing advocacy in a systematic, programmatic way. You know, turning word-of-mouth marketing into a program rather than something that kind of happens on its own. And, you know, clearly, nearly all companies benefit from what I would call organic word-of-mouth. And I think Apple is probably the best example of that. You know, Apple doesn't have an advocate program. Organically, millions of people recommend Apple. But, you know, most brands aren't like Apple. You know, in most other cases, companies need a more systematic, programmatic way to find their recommenders and then activate their recommenders. And so that's where advocate marketing can really help.
Let's talk a little bit about who these advocates are. Are advocates born or created? How does a business get so many advocates? You mentioned one business has up to 70 to 80% of their customer base may be advocates and some less than that. How do they happen?
Well, I want to distinguish here between creating advocates and energizing advocates. Okay, so let's look at that first area, creating advocates. The way a company can create advocates is to provide compelling and unique customer experiences. And that's where it really starts. That's the foundation of advocacy. And, you know, by that I mean, are you creating the types of experiences that people want to recommend? You know, if you're a restaurant, are you, you know, delivering great meals and great service? If you're a software company, are the products that you deliver helping customers solve real business problems, and are those products unique? So that's that first area of creating advocacy, and that's something that Zuberance does not do. You know, we leave that up to our customers, and that's up to the company to create the types of experiences that people want to recommend. But that second area of energizing advocates and amplifying advocates is something we do help companies with. And, you know, I always say this, Jay, that every company has advocates. From a mom and pop retailer to GMC, and we've worked with companies of all types of companies, including, in fact, GMC is a customer of Zuberant's, as well as small companies. The issue or the opportunity that marketers have is, do you know who those advocates are? I mean, can you identify them by name and email address, for example? And are you systematically activating them? You know, are you amplifying them, giving them ways to recommend your brand or product? And I would say if you're not doing those two things, if you're not finding your advocates and you're not systematically activating them, then you're missing a big, big opportunity.
I want to go back to something you said earlier, because I know we have a lot of marketers listening to us, and you made the distinction earlier about B2B and B2C businesses. And in the book, you talk about it too, that the misconception is that there is less advocacy or maybe even no advocacy in B2B businesses. But that's not that true. And in fact, you can leverage advocacy in B2B then, can't you?
Well, first of all, it's a myth, that there is an advocacy in B2B. I mean, after all, very few business people buy a business product or service without asking their colleagues or peers about the company selling that product. In fact, word of mouth is even more influential in business products than it is in consumer products. For example, and one of the reasons for that, by the way, is that the risk-reward proposition for business products or services is much higher than it is for consumer products and services. So, yeah, word of mouth is hugely influential in B2B circles. Now, as far as, a program to identify and activate or energize brand advocates in B2B circles, we are seeing, many companies having very dramatic successes with this. One example I write about in my book is Parallels, and Parallels is a software company. They provide software that enables people to run Windows software on their Macintoshes. And Parallels has created an army of almost 40,000 advocates, Parallels advocates. And those advocates are creating content like reviews and stories. They're sharing offers and content with their business networks. And through this program, Parallels has increased its ratings on places like Amazon.com, has generated thousands of referral leads and referral traffic, and has sold software products, a significant amount of that, directly attributable to its advocates. So, advocacy works both in B2B and B2C. The fundamentals are the same. The tone of the program might be a little different, or the tone of language and engaging advocates might be a little different. Advocacy works well in both B2B and B2C.
Well, Rob, you've made the good case for advocacy marketing here. So let's say our listeners, they say, sold, Rob, you've sold me. What are some few basic steps that you recommend to getting set up and getting started with a program like this?
Well, whether you do this through Zuberance or on your own, I think the first thing is that you need to build a database of your advocates. And that starts with asking that ultimate question. So highly recommend that you do that right away, that you reach out to your customers and ask them that ultimate question for customer loyalty. And by the way, I would recommend that you do that on some systematic basis. If nothing else, it'll give you the ability to calculate what's called your Net Promoter Score, which is proven to be a strong predictor of your business health and your future revenue growth. So that would be number one. That would be to create a database of who your advocates are. The second thing that I would recommend is, again, whether you do this through a platform like Zuberance or you do it on your own, give your advocates ways to recommend you. And that might be by enabling them to create some content or share offers with their social networks. Some of this can be, can be accomplished through an email marketing package. Now, if you want to do this in a more sophisticated, trackable way, then you're going to need a platform like Zuberance's where, you can track the results of advocacy, you can optimize results based on that tracking, you can automatically re-engage and remobilize advocates. So if you want to get to advocacy 201 or 301 or 401, you really need a scalable platform with tracking like Zuberance has. But, if you're a small business, a mom and pop, and you just want to get started, I would say those two things of identifying your advocates and giving them a way to create or share some content is a fine way to get started.
All right, good advice. We'll share all that advice and links in the show notes to the podcast. But Rob, tell us a little bit about Zuberance and its company you started not that long ago.
Well, right. Zuberance is a company that manages and powers brand advocate programs for over 100 leading B2C and B2B brands. And at Zubrance, you can probably tell, Jay, just by my voice, is that we're passionate about advocacy. It's in our DNA. It's our religion. And we believe that, you know, in this era, that marketing is about more than clicks and impressions. It's about building a movement around your brand. And so we're obviously passionate about this, and we provide a solution that includes advocacy technology, expertise, and services, and makes advocate marketing as easy as email marketing for companies.
Tell us briefly about your book, Brand Advocates, and where can we find that?
Yeah, the book is Brand Advocates, Turning Enthusiastic Customers into a Powerful Marketing Force. And the book is really sort of divided into two halves. The first half of the book is what I call inspiration, and it's chock full of case studies of both B2B and B2C companies across a variety of industries. How are they turning their advocates into a marketing force? That's the first half of the book. The second half of the book is how to. And this is where I try to make my book, Brand Advocates, different, in that, you know, you can read my book, or people are telling me they're reading it on a flight, you know, 2 or 3 hour flight. They're reading the book in a couple or 3 hours, and then they're able to go into work the next day and say, okay, here is a playbook now for how we can find our advocates, activate them, amplify them, and track the results. So try to make it very practical, very pragmatic, and something that, you know, you read the book today and put the principles of the book to work tomorrow. And it's available everywhere online.
Yeah, I think that's something that struck me in scanning your book, is that you lay it out very simply and it's easy to understand. Even after just a few chapters, you leave the book saying, hey, you know what? I think I could do this. And it doesn't seem as difficult as it might had you not read the book. So I give you kudos to that and just laying it out in a way that's understandable, in a way that we think that we can follow it too.
One of my favorite stories in the book is a story about an advocate for Rubio's Fresh Mexican Grill. And if you happen to know about Rubio's, they're popular in the western part of the U.S., in California, Colorado, and elsewhere, that they're famous for their fish tacos. And I write in the book about a real-life Rubio's advocate who goes by the name of Bella Ruby Mama. And Bella Ruby Mama writes about her experience and why she loves and recommends Rubio's fish tacos. And she said she actually got hooked on Rubio's fish tacos when she was pregnant. And then, you know, all she could eat, all she wanted was Rubio's fish tacos. In fact, she actually writes about this. She went into labor eating a Rubio's fish taco. And here's the end of the story, which you'll absolutely love. When she had her daughter, she named her daughter, you guessed it, Ruby.
Now that's a great story.
That's a great story. I always tell people that that's the kind of story that no ad agency copywriter could write or create. And even if he or she did, you probably wouldn't believe it. But it was written by a real Rubio's advocate. And, you know, brands have these types of advocates. Now, that might they're what I call extreme brand advocates. You know, but they also have, Rubio's also has millions of other customers. They may not be going into labor eating a Rubio's fish taco. They might not have named their kids Ruby. But they are very willing to recommend Rubio's to their friends. And, you know, through the Zubrance platform, you know, tens of thousands of Rubio's customers are doing that today.
Rob Fugetta, author of Brand Advocates, Turning Enthusiastic Customers into a Powerful Marketing Force. And the company is Zubrance, which can be found at Zubrance.com. And I'll put all those links in the show notes. Rob, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Shay. It's been a lot of fun.
That's Rob Fugetta. He is founder and CEO of Zubrance and also author of Brand Advocates. Remember, you can find complete show notes at powertothesmallbusiness.com, also at themarketingspot.com. My name is Jay Arrett. I'm your host, and we'll see you next time right here on Power to the Small Business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspot.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Our thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show for the opening and closing credits of the podcast. You can find Mary Lynn at The Big Success Podcast, BIGGSuccess.com.